My guest at this time is Pete Hegseth. He's a veteran of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. He served in Iraq in some of the most difficult fighting following the insurgency there and during this sectarian conflict. He is now a Fox News contributor, and you see him on many of the programs on that channel. He joins me today to talk about an issue that's very near and dear to his heart, and that is the care of veterans by our government. A new story in the New York Times suggests it's only getting worse despite all the promises on both sides of the political aisle. And Pete, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
This story from the New York Times starts with an account of a single soldier, one who had served in Afghanistan. And then it says, after deployment, he had suicidal nightmares. He went absent without leave, and ultimately the Marine Corps charged him with misconduct, gave him an other than honorable discharge. As a consequence, the Department of Veterans Affairs does not technically consider him a veteran and has denied him permanent health care. And he is certainly not alone. The story goes on to say, former members of the military are being refused benefits at the highest rate since the system was created at the end of World War II. More than 125,000 Iraq and Afghanistan veterans have what are known as quote-unquote bad paper discharges that preclude them from receiving care. This is according to a report issued by the group Swords to Plowshares on Wednesday. Now, the report looked at 70 years of data. It found that veterans who served since 2001, nearly twice as likely as those who served during Vietnam, to be barred from benefits, and four times as likely as men and women who served during World War II. That includes 10% from those in the Marine Corps now ineligible for benefits, and about 6.5% for all Iraq and Afghanistan troops overall. So how much do you personally hear stories like this, and why do you think this is increasing so much?
I've heard a lot about this. This is a phenomenon without the statistics necessarily behind it to back it up. There's a lot of blame to go around here, no doubt. You can understand why the Pentagon and the VA would have to draw a distinction between the nature of the service and the nature of the benefits. So if you were kicked out of the military for terrible conduct, there's a consequence potentially on the backside with your VA benefits. The problem becomes when maybe you went to Afghanistan, suffer from post-traumatic stress, so you act out when you come home, which leads to a dishonorable discharge. And now you're barred from access to VA benefits, but you're the very person that needs those VA benefits. And a lot of those people are falling through the cracks. I work with local community vets groups trying to deal with that, and that's a lot of what they deal with are veterans who don't qualify for VA benefits because of the manner in which they left the military, and so there's an in-between. But I also understand, and don't fully indict, the military and the VA having to draw distinctions, because without that, there is no standard. Conduct has to matter at some level. And then you layer on top of all of that the utter dysfunction of the VA, which can't even care for the honorably discharged in a timely manner. Now they're trying to deal with folks who have, you know, a questionable paperwork trail, maybe some barriers to entry because of their service and the nature of their discharge, and it leads to them waiting even longer with even more uncertainty. So it doesn't surprise me, but very unfortunate.
We'll get to the larger VA issues in a lot, because I know you've been focused on that as well. But in terms of solving this problem, when the original GI Bill came in, this story says that the bill instructed the Veterans Agency to care for veterans if their service was other than dishonorable. And obviously, as this story points out, there are different statuses than just honorable and dishonorable. So is that the way to go to revert back to that original definition, or how else do you solve this?
Well, it's not even just a definitional problem, because there's questions of other than honorable. There's just different levels and echelons of that. But it's also the volume with which they're given out. In some cases, we see other than honorables given out much more quickly because a medical discharge or another form of discharge is either lengthier or more costly for the military. Sometimes the military is taking the easy way out. They're just pushing people out the door because they don't want to have to deal with it, and maybe there's a cost trail that they don't want to deal with it. You also, though, have the other side of the coin where a veteran may be at the end of their service and they're given an option to say, hey, you can either go down the medical discharge route and it might take a couple of years because of paperwork and all the things that come with it, or you can just jump out right now and get another than honorable and maybe you'll get access to VA benefits. Problem is that line has shifted, so people who thought they qualified for benefits no longer do, and as a result, they're caught in the middle.
Pete, let's talk about the larger situation with the VA in our remaining couple of minutes here. The president, of course, as well as Congress, horrified when the stories out of the Phoenix VA and then other VAs around the country popped up a couple of years ago. Shinseki, the general turned VA secretary, was forced out. Now we've got Secretary McDonald. From what we're hearing from Congress, there hasn't been a lot of changes, certainly in terms of firing people responsible or getting better colleagues into the VA to make sure that the system runs smoother. After all the promises, how much has actually changed?
Very little, unfortunately. Veterans now have a choice card, but they still can't use it as widely or as rapidly as they would want. There's been almost no accountability, very little accountability for those responsible for the waitlist manipulation scandal. Veterans continue to wait for a long time, as you see from the story here. Benefits still remain unclear. And all the while, Congress has been incapable of the larger, deeper reforms that are ultimately necessary. There is some hope on the horizon for bills that would fundamentally overhaul the VA, turn it into more of a payer than a provider, and give veterans a lot more choice. But those are still a ways down the horizon, and advocates like us who are fighting for it, we see a path, but it may not happen in this Congress. So if it doesn't happen in this Congress, it just means more vets waiting for a longer time at a dysfunctional VA that hasn't changed. Clearly, the word fight at the highest levels about whether government should be trying to do this alone or whether they should be bringing in private care, that won't be solved anytime soon. So hopefully, if a candidate who's friendly to VA reform is elected president, we'll have a new window for some real reform.
Pete, talk a little bit about what the VA has been unable to achieve as well as Congress on this front. Is it a lack of effort, or is it just a matter of bureaucracy and other factors getting in the way?
All of the above, mostly a combination of government unions, the AFGE, that want nothing to change and lobby very hard and are powerful inside certain quarters of the halls of Congress. They're blocking this. The VA bureaucracy is ferocious in trying to stifle anything that looks like change. You know, bureaucracies never want to change. And then, frankly, you've got some other veterans organizations, more traditional ones that have been there in Washington for a long time, that are sort of part of a special interest class that protect the VA no matter what and have a lot of power. So groups on the outside who are demanding reform really have to go through the media. They have to go to members of Congress willing to stand up and try to make change. And that takes time to build a coalition of courageous policymakers that will fight back against the status quo. So there's just powerful special interests, like in any other area, who want things not to change.
The one issue that should not be partisan, it still is.
That's
partisan,
right?
In some ways. So, Pete, thank you very much for being with us and helping us understand it better. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Pete Hegseth is a veteran of the wars in both Iraq and Afghanistan. He is also a Fox News contributor. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.